Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Josh. I've been thinking about coming back from international break. Mm-hmm. Often we find ourselves having a damp squib of a game week.
Yes, that's true.
But there have been so many goals in game week 12. That's true. It delivered on every level.
Yeah, we often say that our podcast listening numbers are way down when there's a really bad game week or when no one has any fun. We get like no listens at all. And I think we might see like record numbers this week because they were just based on Twitter alone. I mean, there was ecstasy this week.
Well, present company, right. Perhaps.
Okay. We'll get to your misery in a moment. But I think for a lot of men, there are people who are cracking 100 points. It came down to whether you had a bunch of Chelsea assets. If you were heavily invested in Chelsea, it was a very good game week. If you didn't, you still could be okay. But that was really the trick to a huge game week was having a bunch of Chelsea players.
The major trick was in our cash league, Josh, new number one, Ben Maddison, captains Salah. So that was a great gambit for a lot of managers.
Yeah.
Some managers.
That's very true. That's very true. So I was actually, I was traveling this last weekend. I was in San Francisco, but I was able to watch a remarkable amount of soccer, given that I was actually away on a business trip. I did this by waking up at 4:30 a.m. on Saturday morning to watch matches. I don't know if I know we have some people who listen on the West Coast. As one of our longtime listeners is from Idaho. But yeah, it's tricky. I don't know if I could do it in a hotel where I was like already on West Coast or East Coast time, you know, like it still felt like 7:30. Sure. I was able to do it.
I have heard, Josh, that all 18 of the California Raisins actually listen to the Always Cheating podcast.
But it is amazing how, like, if a baby cries in the morning, it's like I couldn't bring myself to cry. My whole body like just wills me to stay asleep. You know, it's like I'm in a cocoon. And there's no waking me up. But at 4:30 a.m., you know, Premier League match is on. I'm up. Like I was wide awake making coffee, watching the North London Derby, which was a pretty interesting match. I mean, we'll talk more about this in a minute, but it was, I was not expecting a 2-0 Arsenal win. It was very far from what you and I predicted last week.
And that's ultimately what killed my game week was Spurs' performance, because I was one of those that captained Harry Kane.
Right.
And I've still been relying. Yeah, Eriksen. So that actually kind of killed my game week, and I ended up on 50 points, if we're just going to talk about our teams here. So the game week average in week 12 is 56 points, and I came in at 50, largely due to armbanding Kane. I mean, I have four goals across my team. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a few fails, granted. John Stones goes off with a hamstring. Shane Duffy with a one-pointer. Of course, Calvert-Lewin we've talked about to death on this podcast.
Art installation.
But four goals in your squad, you expect to do better. You expect to hit at least average.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's clear to see what I'm missing here. Missing out on huge point getters this week, which we'll talk about. Morata, Salah.
Hitting the one from Stones was tough, too.
Yeah, I mean, that... Spurs plus John Stones, just an awful lot of bad luck in the first two.
I heard your voice crack there a little bit. I could tell I struck a nerve with the John Stones thing.
ultimately, John Stones was going to be out going into game week 13 anyhow, because this part of my long-term strategy to take all of the money out of my defense and move it into my midfield. Uh-huh. And we'll talk about our transfers at the end of the podcast, but... he was going to be out regardless, but of course it's the one match in recent memory where Manchester City keep a clean sheet and Stones pulls up with a hamstring. Those are the worst injuries to watch unfold in real time, where it's not a contact injury, but it's clear to everyone watching, like, oh, he's out for 6 weeks.
Do you find in those situations where a defender pulls up before 60 minutes that you're actually rooting for the clean sheet to get lost? Just to make you
without a doubt.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, you had Phil Jones a couple of game weeks ago, and he went out in like the 23rd minute or whatever it was, and
Lindelof happened like 2 minutes later.
Lindelof will happen. His initials may as well be SHIT.
Yeah, it was. I was delighted when the goal. I mean, partially because David De Gea is so highly owned, but yeah, just in general, I'm always. You just want to, I don't know. It's like, you want shared misery. You know, you don't want to feel bad by yourself. And like, oh, if they're going to lose the clean sheet anyway, then it's okay. Yeah, so it was a tough week for you.
Yeah, it's a red arrow for me. I've just been bouncing around the mid 100,000s. I'm now down to 532,000. It's been feast or famine for me this season. I mean, well, feast should be qualified as like big lunch. It's been a big lunch or famine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a famine week. So, but I do feel like I have a long term plan.
Yep.
But as with all things FPL, long term plans,
I know
you never get there.
Yeah, we'll talk about exactly who's essential, right? The players who are essential are players we were writing off a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's interesting.
How'd you do?
I had 77 points, so I had a very good game week. I was, you know, for the second game week in a row, I should have captained Salah and I didn't. I'm sure that
made a really compelling case in the last week's pod too.
I know. I really thought about it. I just. I was kind of, you know, it really was because Pogba was back. That was what convinced me to captain Lukaku. I thought they would link up well, and then naturally Lukaku finally does score, but not until Pogba's off the pitch. So, just worked out kind of strangely that way. That goal was like, even though I knew I was probably just down for 6 points. It was so huge. It was such a weight off my shoulders, you know, because, you know, missing out a captain, you know, it was 10 points, but I don't know. It felt like it would have been a big blow to have a 2-pointer instead of a 16-pointer.
Yeah. It was a good fantasy goal for you and a few managers out there, but it read like a testimonial goal. It was like, oh, we're crushing Newcastle right now.
Yeah.
Let's get the big man a goal. It's like, this is his last game he's going to play in a Manchester United jersey. So let's get him the goal.
Well, speaking of, you know, things that cost you, you know, like having 4 goals and still being down at points. I mean, that was the biggest thing for a lot of managers is if you captain Kane, you didn't want Lukaku to get a goal, right? Because he just overall, you know, 5 million managers. I think he was the number one captain option this game week.
Yep.
And so that was just, you know, 8 points basically for everybody.
Yeah, it's the scales, you know, there are game weeks in which the scales kind of even out, with multiple captains. And this was just one of those weeks where the scales just tips so unfavorably to a lot of managers.
Yeah.
Or against.
So I only made one transfer. I kind of had like a late night rage transfer, on Friday night. I actually transferred out Phil Jones. I may live to regret it, but I didn't want to deal with the Jones thing anymore. I felt like it was really affecting the rest of my decision making, like the rest of my defense. And I was also worried about only having 10 starters this game week. If Loftus-Cheek hadn't played, there was a chance I might have had 10 starters. So instead of dropping Ben Davis, which had been the plan, I just dropped Phil Jones and thought, you know what, if I miss out on a clean sheet next week, so be it. Their fixtures are about to get a lot worse. And so I'm just taking that risk. So I brought in Charlie Daniels, who kind of inexplicably got 2 bonus points in a game where there were four. I mean, I guess Callum Wilson gobbled up all the points, but I was amazed that I got 2 from him.
Yeah, Daniels kind of like tippy-toed up to the bonus point bank and just like, yoink, snuck him out of there.
Yeah, so I got 8 from Daniels. Chopamoting got me 10 today. Salah, Lukaku, Jesus, Loftus-Cheek, Joel Ward. So it was, and then Kolasinac, which is like the most like rando clean sheet ever. I could not believe that I got a clean sheet from Kolasinac.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of nice. I'm glad I have him because now I feel like I've got this, their fixtures are actually pretty good in the future. And so now I feel good about it because you still have Monreal, right?
Yeah, and so talking about clearing the money out of my defense, Monreal is the one that sticks. He'll be my 1 5 million plus defender that I keep because, yeah, as you say, the fixtures look great, and Arsenal have proven, like especially at the Emirates, they've just been impenetrable.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna keep it until later, but Richie FPL mentioned that. Does anyone know that Arsenal makes clean sheets when Mustafi is playing? He's played 6 matches for them, and they have 5 clean sheets in those 6 matches. And I wonder if we need to rethink Mustafi a little bit, because when Arsenal bought Mustafi last season, you know, it was considered a great signing, you know, starter on the German national team, world-class center back, played for Valencia, had a really I think, you know, most would agree, you know, pretty difficult start to his career there, to the point where they were talking about actually, you know, possibly putting him on loan this season. And so, but maybe he has stabilized that defense a little bit.
Yeah, it's clear. I mean, I don't know that Mustafi has been overlooked. I think a lot of us had him in our teams last season for a few game weeks. The issue has been he's had injuries here and there. Mm-hmm. And with Arsenal having a pretty stable back line to choose from, whether you're looking for attacking wing backs like Bellerin or Monreal, who has, like, in the last two seasons been the cheapest reliable option. Yep. There was always another route into the Arsenal defense than Mustafi, and his injuries have just come at the wrong time.
Right.
But if he's back and healthy and stays that way, there's no reason why you shouldn't be investing in him over Kolasinac or Monreal.
And with so many fixtures coming up over the next, you know, what is it? I think that we still have what? Like, it's like this is very much, this is the calm before the storm, man. There's like, there's so many games coming up in the next, I mean, there are double, you know, there are midweek fixtures, like two of the next four game weeks or something like that, right? There's midweek fixtures, not this week, but next week. And then like 2 weeks later, there are more midweek fixtures. And then there's all the holiday fixtures. So, you know, it's not a bad idea to invest in a center back, especially in a team like Arsenal that's a little light on center backs. Because they're a little more rotation.
5.3 million.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, man. I didn't think we were going to go so heavy on Mustafi, but I felt like we had to. So before we get into – we've got a lot to cover this game week. Before we get into it, Brandon, do you have any opinion on the Chopu meltdown that took place?
Yeah. Let's make it canon for the Always Cheating podcast. So as longtime listeners know, if there's a midweek fixture, Josh and I are in the office, usually G-chatting with each other. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, because we work in offices, that can be counteracted by being in meetings or busy or whatnot.
Right. So there can be some delays in that, you know, it's like we're communicating by telegraph sometimes.
So here's my side of the story. There was a delay in this G-chat conversation about the Choupo-Moting. He scores a goal. You go into a meeting. I have had no communication with you about Brighton Stoke up to this point.
Right.
Then Zuma scores his goal, and there is a whiff of maybe it's a Choupo assist. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Right, right.
And I was at this point – Gross hadn't scored his goal. I was having kind of a really crummy week. You were having a good week. Mm-hmm. We are very competitive by nature. It is very hard for me to extend any sort of congratulations to you. Sure.
And not your natural motive. I am much more likely to go the other way, actually, but maybe in a condescending sort of way.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're the one most likely to concede defeat to somebody in the money league when you clearly have like the high ground.
Right. Exactly.
That's where you are. So anyway, not to get too derailed here. So anyway, you finally get back to your computer, I see. And I'm just kind of done with the game week and I want a banter. Mm-hmm. I want a banter with my bud.
Sure.
So I just G-chat you like, hey, how do you feel about Choupo not getting that assist? It's kind of a tricky one. And you respond like, yeah, he didn't really deserve it anyway. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I had seen some slow motion video. Look,
I love you also then say, I saw it in slow-mo, as if like millions of people around the world don't also have access to slow motion video.
Well, you were saying it like you hadn't seen the slow-mo. So, I mean, if it was a Chopu assist, it's like the product in his hair was so stiff that helped direct the ball. I mean, he barely touched it.
So this is the reason we're telling this story, dear listeners, is because, and I think we've all been here with our highly competitive friends, is I go from just sort of joking with you and being like, oh, Josh doesn't care. Mm-hmm. It's not a Choupo assist and he's seen the slow-mo replay. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care. And so I try to make a joke about it and you send me another serious reply.
No. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Immediately I realize, oh, he's really blown up about this.
I'm not blown up. I was trying to keep it cool. You know, it's
no, no. An assist. And then what did you do?
Well, finally I was like, well, listen, I'm not going to be a jerk and bring up that you brought in Duffy and he's on 1 point right now. I wouldn't do that to you. And so that was my subtle way of getting my dig in. Not very subtle, I guess.
Yeah. What kind of dig is that too? I didn't bring in Shane Duffy.
You already picked up your gross goal. I knew you were okay.
Yeah, hitting my 6 points below average. All right, we're destroying.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
We're destroying this episode of the podcast.
We're disgusting people. Hail Cheaters Super League. Let's run down the top 10. Let me take the lead here, Brandon.
Go for it, Joshua.
Magnus Westerstrand, Beautiful Creatures in 10th place. Football Friend FC, Nick Tudhope in 9th. 420 Fedora Fanatics, Will C is an 8th. That's a new
wow, one. That name is ridiculously beautiful, and I don't know if he's trolling people.
He must be.
Who like to smoke weed and wear fedoras. I'm not sure.
I think so. Hippo FC, Pat Vivavitz in 7th.
99 points for Hippo.
That's impressive. Hippo FC, is that from last year? I feel like he's a fixture in this season or last season.
I recognize Pat. I feel like we've had Pat for a few seasons now.
Yeah.
But can we say scoring a 99-point game week is a little bit like bowling a 299 score?
It is.
Like one pin short of a perfect game.
It's true. You'd almost rather have like a 96-point game week or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Red Devils, Daniel Kim is on 6th with 83 points. Godby Town FC, Dan Goes in 5th. Sala Fingers, Danny McHugh is in 4th. Clichy's Clean Sheets, our boy, Fabio Borges, tied for 2nd with 2 girls, 1 schlup, Andrew Ferguson, 88 points. And very top of the table, Brandon, Scott Powell's Enter at Shaqiri, 63 points, 774 total points. Well done to you, Scott. I'm impressed.
Well done, Scott. And it's never too late to join the Always Cheating Super League. Just go to our website, alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, and auto-join. And the league code is on all of our social media. We're like close to 2,500 managers there. And it is the greatest mini league in the world.
That is true. It's so good that Brandon and I'm outside the top. I'm like 201 right now. So I jumped about 40,000 spots, Brandon. So I'm around 50,000 right now on the season. So.
That's huge, man. Keep it going. Yeah,
thank you. All right.
See, I can be nice when I want to.
Yeah, you can be. That's true. Patreon Survivor League update. There are 14 survivors left. I'm not going to run through all 14 of them yet. There's still too many. But 10 out of the 14 managers picked Man United or Liverpool. So should get pretty interesting in that Survivor League now, Brandon, as we start to hack away at all the top teams. You know, all the low hanging fruit. Now it's just like. You're going to have to pick Huddersfield to win a game.
I was just thinking of Huddersfield is quickly getting to that point of Cinderella story to they're definitely the worst team in the league.
It's so weird.
Right?
But then how do they beat Man United 2-1 a couple weekends? It's so they're strange.
It's the greatest advertisement for the Premier League, Josh. Mm. Parody, baby.
The Barclays Premier League.
There is definite parity between Manchester United and Huddersfield. You heard it here
first.
That's
true. And Barclays isn't even a sponsor anymore. Rants of the week. We have 2. Jeremiah Johnson says, rant. When you ask an expert about captaining Hazard or Richarlison, and you are told Hazard, but you think you know better, and the Pulis will set up the big bus, so you captain Richarlison. He also spells Richarlison wrong twice here, but that's all right, Jeremiah. I still got 16 points from Rich Boy, but could have had 36 from Hazard. I got to say, I think if I captain a player and I get attacking points, like I did with Lukaku, eight from Richarlison, I feel like I'm not complaining that much, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The slight caveat to that, the fact that Richarlison didn't get any bonus points would definitely stick in my craw.
Sure.
I generally agree with you. Any attacking points is good. If there's a bigger haul somewhere in your squad, no regrets.
Right.
But if there are no bonus points on the captain, I hate that.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah, that is true, actually. But Richarlison, that's just you cannot expect bonus points from him at this point, right? Like unless he's getting double attacking returns.
Yeah. I guess if we can have a Richarlison sidebar real quick. He's a strange FPL asset right now. I mean, he feels like he's kind of neck and neck with Pascal Gross. People are treating him like he is an Aaron Ramsey level player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I have him in my team. Very happy to have him.
Sure.
But I would never go so far as to armband him. There are still a few question marks I have.
Yeah, I really wish I had him on my team. I actually think he's a borderline essential player at this point. Given how attacking he is, I mean, he's pretty much an out of position striker, right? I mean, if he's not a striker, he's right up there. I mean, I know, I guess Andre Gray technically is the striker. The Will Hughes weird, by the way, right? Where did Will Hughes come from?
No. That like, beautiful pale yeah, like face like powder, and white like, hair.
What was going on?
He's like powder. He is like curing dead deer on the sidelines. Yeah,
do we both independently say powder? Do we say powder over each other? We're like competing to say powder first.
Okay. Basically, there only needs to be one host on the Always Cheating podcast at this point. He looks great. But I think is his place secured, because isn't Perea, is he playing in Perea's position?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's only started two games on the season. He's one to watch, but I wouldn't be transferring him in yet. I don't think there's, I don't think you can feel confident in him starting.
Just to qualify all that Richarlison talk, though, like, I think he's a really special player and he's like a perfect fit for that Watford squad.
Sure.
I don't disagree with you. He's probably a must have in your team at this point, given the value for points.
Right.
But the bonus point thing is kind of worrying.
Yeah, it's just, that's the price you pay for having a player who's constantly, you know, attacking, right?
Even Suarez, even the likes of Luis Suarez suffered from this.
Right, exactly. He's going to pick up fouls. He's going to have a lot of shots off target. He's not going to pass it as much as he should have.
Right.
All right, Brandon, last one. You can read this final rant here, but you got to actually say the exclamation points.
Okay, I'll read this with feeling. This rant comes from Tom Smith. He says, quote, "After captaining Kane, my tolerance finally erupted. He is immediately transferred after the Arsenal game. Even Eriksen felt my wrath. I wash my hands of them. Aguero and Sanchez both in. A little rash? Perhaps. I couldn't even blame alcohol on this occasion." Now, first point, Tom, maybe you have an alcohol problem. Second point, we'll probably be talking a fair amount about Spurs in the meat of this podcast, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I thought this was funny. I've been there before too, and that's actually how I felt about Phil Jones. It was just like another day of me reading press conference notes, like trying to figure out if there was any tea leaf, it was kind of weird. Like, the only time that Mourinho had actually said that Jones was out was like at some like award presenting like a new Audi or something like that. There was like an Audi convention or something, and he got interviewed afterwards. He was like there as like a you know, to glad hand or whatever, and then he just started complaining about the England national team and Phil Jones playing, and but that was like the only time he mentioned he was out. So I was like, oh, like, am I making much mistake here?
I will say this just in response to Tom, is I actually wish I did what Tom did, because my grand like five-step plan is like moving John Stones, then I'm turning Pascal Gross into Mo Salah, and then I'm turning Jesus into Morata. It was all like perfect pieces of the puzzle, but with Salah and Morata both blowing up on Saturday, they both jumped by 0.1 in price Saturday night because of the Tom Smiths of the world.
Yeah.
And my plan now, I have to recalibrate the plan.
Yeah. There was someone on Twitter who had like a real meltdown about Saturday night price rises. And he was
insane.
He was like, listen, people, there's games on Sunday. There are games on Monday. There are Champions League. Five teams are playing. Why can't you wait? And he was like, I'm banging my hands against the wall here.
Well, why can't they wait? On top of, like, how many game weeks have we been sitting there, like, for days and days and days waiting for a price change to happen, like FPL statistics, fantasy football fix, predicting, like, 200% guaranteed Lukaku price fall.
Right, right.
And it's not happening. But, of course, that very night on Saturday, Morata and Salah both go up. So
we know too much now. Yeah, exactly. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break and get into more of the podcast.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Josh, we're back, and it's Starting 11. Starting 11.io, it's the newest daily fantasy app for the Premier League. And this weekend, I did head-to-head challenges with a couple of our listeners. Stephen Toomey. He continues to crush me, like, week in, week out. I don't know what sort of, like, Game Genie Code Shark Stephen Toomey has on his phone, but he beats me every week. He's unlocked the secrets here. Also played newcomer to the Starting 11 app AM Saturday, and actually I was able to use my experience points to beat AM Saturday. But we're doing a great thing with Starting 11, which is available for your iPhone and your Android phone. If you want to challenge us head-to-head on this great daily fantasy app, just hit up me or Josh on a direct message on Twitter, on Facebook. Send us an email at hailcheaters@gmail.com, and we'd love to play it.
Yeah, exactly. If you're home with your family for Thanksgiving, you're home for the holidays, there's a lot of fixtures coming up. Maybe you just need a break from the absolute grind that the next 10 fixtures in like 18 days are going to be, or whatever it is, through the end of Christmas. Come play Starting 11 with us. If you're in New York, you can come, you know, visit with us, and we'll all do like a Starting 11 meetup together. We'll make transfers in real time in front of each other via our phones.
This sounds so provocative. I love it. We're going to transfer in front of each other.
Another thing that's just as a little off note, but I think Starting 11, we actually got put in touch with the Fantasy Football Pundit folks. They've been gracious enough to sort of welcome us into their network. So thanks to those guys as well. And they're also friends of Starting 11. So it's a good, you're part of a community when you do Starting 11.
Yeah, it's funny you were mentioning the grind of the FPL coming up. I just imagine all of us FPL managers as like UPS warehouse workers and UPS drivers, like gift giving season.
Yeah.
It's basically we're rolling up our shirt sleeves big time right now in fantasy.
Exactly.
This is our time, Josh.
This is our time. So visit starting11.io. Check out the app. You can also download it on your iOS and Android, and message me or message me or Brandon on Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can even message us via our website, alwayscheating.com, and we would love to play you in a Starting 11 challenge. And there's also a lot of interesting changes coming to that app in the next few weeks, so stay tuned on that, and check it out.
Key topics this week, Josh, we have a few, and we're going to start with the midfield. Big-time guys like Paul Pogba. Paul is back, and of course, Mo Salah continues to roll on. We've got a lot of questions from our listeners here about midfielders. First one from FPL Penguin, Pog back. Is he essential now? After one game, Josh, granted, he looked fantastic against All right. Newcastle.
Let's think about what the word essential means, Brandon. Webster's mm-hmm. define. Essential is basically that they have some mix of price and fixtures and consistency of starts, right? Would you say that's what essential means, basically, in a fantasy sense?
Yes, I would say that. And also when I think about essential, I think about how many essential slots do you actually have in your team?
Right.
Do you have an essential defender, midfielder, or striker?
Right.
Or do you have just two essential slots?
Right. Because if those essential players can be moved out like after one bad game week, I don't think they're truly essential. Right. An essential player is someone you're planning on bringing in for 5 or 10 weeks. Right. Lukaku was essential at the start of the season. He wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah. And you talked about this with Richarlison, too, sort of similar in a similar vein with Josh King last season. You could have mid-priced essentials just because the ownership is skyrocketing and they consistently deliver,
right.
Therefore essential.
Right. And someone like Pascal Gross is right on the cusp, I think, of being essential because he's still so cheap, right? He's under 6 million. He has to play every match for them if they're going to stay up. Right.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, and he's the one who's the chief creator in that squad. So he, you know, he'll probably play through most of the holiday fixtures and borderline essential, I would say. Not fully essential because you can have, there are other players like Richarlison who can kind of do what he does, but it's close.
Yeah. Right. And I think the concern with a guy like Pascal Gross is this just anomalous how he's been putting up so many numbers of late? Because Brighton isn't, by a statistical account, the type of team that is going to post attacking returns just like that steady.
So with that said, is Pogba essential? There's a case to be made for it, for sure. He's probably the most, now assuming he stays healthy, right? The hamstring thing is truly behind him. He's probably going to play in almost every single match, right?
I mean, given how Manchester United played when he went out, he's the linchpin.
Right.
He's the missing link. He didn't miss us. I'm sure he maybe missed one or two, but he was the least rotated player in that squad last season under Mourinho.
Exactly. Goal, assist, 2 bonus points, 12 points off the back, 8 million. So he's you know, almost, I mean, he's a borderline mid-tier midfielder, right? He's not even, mm-hmm. you know, at the top end of the, he's 2.5 million cheaper than Hazard.
He's in that Sané Sterling bracket right now. And
right.
if you're talking about consistency of starts and attacking potential, you could argue that he beats at least Raheem Sterling at this point.
Sterling to Pogba is very tempting, and it's really tempting to get in before the price change. I don't, you know, it's really tough to transfer out a player like Sterling before a match away to a team like Huddersfield. I probably in the end can't do that. It's just that would be too much of a luxury transfer. I you know, I've got players like Ben Davis and Chalobah who just have to get transferred out before the holidays start. Mm-hmm. Because they're just not going to be starting enough for me.
You got
to
send them home for the holidays, John.
Exactly. But I mean, if I were wildcarding right now, he would absolutely 100% be in my team.
Yeah. Now, I don't want this to come off as like talking out of both sides of our mouths, because last week we had a few questions about Pogba and they asked, and people were saying, like, should we get him in? I certainly.
I was a little more pro, but we were kind of we were both a little on the fence.
Yeah, and I felt like we really needed to see, and you just don't know somebody coming back with that sort of injury. And I think Pogba took everyone a little bit by surprise that it was like he didn't miss a single step.
It's just,
so now that we've seen him play like that, on board 100%.
Exactly, seeing him play that he looked good, right? He looked up for it, just like he did the first few weeks of the season. This is why, you know, going into if you listen to some of the preview podcasts, I'm like Pogba's like biggest detractor. I'm like such a
Pogba can't shoot.
Yeah, Pogba can't shoot. I think I was ending podcasts saying that, reminding people that he can't shoot. I'm just not sure he can shoot.
Yeah, there are other midfielders to talk about here, but with Pogba too, at the start of the season, the big debate was Pogba or Mkhitaryan, and it's like VHS or Betamax. Mkhitaryan is Betamax 100%, and Pogba might be. I'm not ready to say Pogba is 4K, Josh.
Uh-huh.
He's at least a Blu-ray. He's a Blu-ray.
He's blue. Maybe HD. He's HD DVD.
All right. Christopher Adams asks, how does the return of Pogba and Ibra affect Lukaku's stock? So we're kind of talking about midfielders a bit here. But Lukaku dropped out of a lot of teams, mine included, because United were a little listless in the attack, but Pogba is back now. And when he was there, it was like Lukaku was guaranteed a goal a game. So that's a plus. But the minus is everyone was talking about how when Ibra comes on the pitch, he basically directs Lukaku unceremoniously out to the wing.
Yeah.
So you're still a Lukaku owner. I generally am feeling like motivation to get back on the Lukaku bandwagon?
Yeah, I'm a little the temptation is to keep Lukaku for 2 more game weeks, you know, the home fixture to Brighton, away to Watford, and then possibly move him after that, probably to Alvaro Morata, right? That seems like the most logical transfer. I'd also save $1 million that way, thereabouts. So, I mean, the fact that Ibra and Lukaku played together is encouraging, right? I wondered if they would. I wondered, Mourinho is not the kind of manager who just goes like for like that. So I wasn't surprised to see them play together, but it was encouraging. I don't actually mind him being out on the wing like that. If that's how it works, I think that's actually fine, because a player like Ibra is so good, he's going to create chances for Lukaku.
Yeah, and so long as Lukaku keeps starting, I agree with you. I don't see the introduction of Ibra pushing Lukaku to the bench. I think either maybe they'll both start, but Lukaku is just like a 90 minutes solid player. Champions League changes that a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to sit here and, you know, and talk about who's going to get rotated and not overall the next fixtures, because I think almost everyone is going to. I mean, you know, especially if you look at those holiday fixtures, I mean, you know, some teams are playing 3 games in 7 days. I mean, it's hard to believe that you're not going to see rotation, even among theoretically rotation free players like Pogba and Lukaku, and you know, obviously Man City are going to see lots of rotation there.
Right. Okay, so we have a question from Jeff Petter that leads us from the midfield into Chelsea talk, which Chelsea had a massive win against a diabolical West Brom. Jeff asks, Pogba or Hazard, both looking great, but Chelsea's fixture swing is doing it for Jeff. So how are we feeling about Hazard? He's kind of been like lying in wait, and he pounced. I do have a question about Chelsea's pummeling of West Brom. How much did that have to do with just the natural conclusion of the Tony Pulis era?
Right.
And
yeah.
West Brom are just garbage versus Chelsea have been kind of an up and down, albeit pretty good team this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they've looked a lot better in the last few weeks, right? I mean, they had a really encouraging win at home to Man United. And then, I mean, was the Man United game right before the international break? I mean, so maybe they've only really had the two big matches.
They have, and I really like Chelsea just in the cliche sense of flat track bullies. I mean, they really did a number on Stoke as well. Mm-hmm. If they're in full flight like they were this weekend, you've got to really like Chelsea. But so leading into Scott Gilshannon's question, who would you prefer, Hazard or Morata? So this is what I would say to Jeff's question is, Hazard's price probably prohibitive. If Chelsea is playing well, scoring points, I'd rather have Morata because that price point for Morata fits better into most people's teams as opposed to a 10.5 midfielder in Hazard.
Right.
And it looks like the points at best being most generous to Hazard will be split evenly.
It would be.
Wouldn't you guess that it was more likely that Morata will have more points at the end of the season than Hazard?
That's an interesting question. I do, just because Hazard tends to have these periods where he sort of checks out for a few weeks. And Morata seems like he's such a natural goal scorer, you know? I mean, just the way he gets his head on balls. I think he'll outscore Hazard over the course of the season. I mean, he's got a big head start anyway, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And just the assist he provided to Hazard as well. There's some great chemistry happening there.
Sure.
I mean, if you're talking about doing a combo of here's an interesting one: Pogba and Lukaku as a twofer, or Hazard and Morata.
Pogba and Lukaku, or Hazard and Morata. I guess I would actually go more. I go Hazard and Morata in that equation. Yeah, I don't know. So it feels close, you know. I guess it's Hazard Morata.
It is close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ian Davis asked if Hazard and Morata were too much Chelsea, and yeah, I think it just comes down to what your outlay of cash is there. But we like it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this brings us into to Kane and Eriksen. You know, I mean, if you're going to free up room for even if you decide that you're only going to have two forwards up front or possibly even one forward. I know some people are talking about that, which that seems a little rash to me. I think it hasn't been a great moment for some of the strikers up front. I mean, you know, guys like Jesus and Aguero are still scoring, but they're just not scoring every game week because they're not always getting enough starts. I mean, if one of those two guys got injured, they'd be a near essential player, right?
Yeah. What I would say about the one striker is, yeah, there have been a number of strikers crapping out week to week, be it Kane or Aguero not getting a minute. But that's why you had to have at least two strikers to offset or to help you rotate, or if one just falls out of form, you can replace them and not miss a beat.
Yeah, and I'm planning to write it out with Kane. So there's a bunch of questions here about Kane and Eriksen. Mark says, is Harry Kane drinking the Last Chance Saloon? Anmar Ingerson says, why is Kane in my team? Why do I hate myself? Joe says, time to panic on Kane and Eriksen. You get the idea. There's lots of Kanguish going on right now.
Kanguish. I love it.
And I do understand that. And, you know, Eriksen's kind of the same way. I mean, Eriksen in some ways is even more frustrating because you're not sure he's going to turn it around. And like with Kane, it's like it's frustrating, but you know all it takes is the slightest window. Like once he's back in form, it'll be – you know, he'll start getting, you know, four or five goals every, you know,
right.
You know, he'll get a brace, he'll get a hat trick, something like he'll explode.
That's something I'm grappling with in my team right now. So as I was trying to figure out a way to keep De Bruyne and Eriksen and turn Gross into Salah. Just get some heavy hitters in my midfield.
Right.
And that the whole idea there is I have faith that Eriksen will come back. A weekend like this, just to see Spurs in this kind of state, of course, causes us all to panic. And yeah, Eriksen's coming off of like this amazing display over the break, scoring a hat trick, basically carrying Denmark to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And but he's just always been a streaky FPL player. But I hear what you're saying, Josh. I believe that the points will still come.
You know what's funny is when I looked at your team Saturday morning at 4:30 a.m. on whatever it was, it wasn't just your team. I was looking at Ben and Dave and some other people, but I was some other people in our mini league. But I was absolutely certain that you were going to move Eriksen to Salah. I just thought that was. I thought that you often make the most logical move, you know, like I just think you're very good at like assessing things and be like, this is the move that I need to make this game week. I'm a little more inclined to take a risk, I guess.
Well, and I guess I was thinking about this as gearing up for the pod is thinking about Eriksen, because there are questions about him for obvious reasons. Eriksen up to this point is the player, granted he's kind of saved me a few game weeks this season. If it keeps going like this and I keep a devotion to Eriksen, he's the exact type of player that can, you know, cause you to can ruin your season, basically. Right,
exactly. And then what's frustrating though is you look at Spurs fixtures, it's West Brom, Leicester, Watford, Stoke, Brighton, right? In the next five game weeks. There's not gonna be made for bringing in someone like Eriksen or Ali, right? I mean, their fixtures are back.
This is why we're all having heart attacks in FPL world, because right. Spurs, this has been the story of Spurs all season. Like,
right.
Fantastic fixtures, Captain right. Kane, it's right. all great.
Right.
And it has been a disaster nine times out of 10.
I know.
So how far does it go?
The Kane thing is, and I dropped Kane, 2 weeks ago. I dropped Morata 2 weeks ago for Kane. And so I think I picked up a sum total of 3 points from Kane while Morata has gone for 17. So that's very frustrating. The Kane thing. I mean, okay. The thing about Kane, I posted this on Twitter on Saturday is, he's clearly a little injured, right? He's not moving as well as he normally does. He looks injured, I mean, he doesn't look happy. Like Kane is a very happy player, I feel like, in general, right? He's a very joyful player.
Yeah. He just has this aura of the most in control player on the pitch.
Yes.
When he's really feeling it. He's had that aura like nonstop for the last two seasons.
Exactly. So whatever personal anguish he's got going on right now, he needs to get over it. He needs to, or sit out for a couple of weeks so that I can just transfer him out of my squad and be okay with it. I mean, the Champions League at midweek will be really interesting. I really hope he doesn't play, actually. I'd like to see him get rested. And then the question is, do you captain him at home to West Brom?
No, I
But can you believe that? I mean, you 12.5 million player, the most expensive player in the game, playing a team that just fired their manager. I mean, how can you not captain him at home to West Brom?
Sure. Well, we've been having the same discussion week in, week out. It's like, how can you? Because it's been a Kane. What was the stat? 4 braces and yes. 8 blanks.
Yes.
So for the most part, the argument has been okay. There have been a couple times where the argument is Harry Kane is president of the universe, but most of the time it's. Do we keep the faith? And the right. answer is always yes. Harry Kane is world class. Keep the faith.
Yes.
It's cresting at this point. At this point, it's cresting. Yes. And it's not an eye test. It's not a visual thing. Now we actually have to grapple with the numbers. And I'm sad to say it's indefensible.
It's not fun. And you obviously can't drop him ahead of these fixtures. And you just have to hope that he rides it out. I mean, okay, you can drop him. Yes, you go ahead.
You can.
I dare you to drop him before a home match to West Brom, a team without a manager and like a team that like is clearly in need of, I don't even know. Like the lineup's going to, there's going to be like 5 new players in that starting 11 this weekend, right? Like they're going to totally mix things up.
I mean, we could go back and basically reset the podcast and start from scratch because the whole podcast could be about how this is not a binary. The binary is not do you or do you not have Kane. The question is, what strikers do you want or do you need?
Right.
And, you know, you could have, in my mind right now, I feel like, and it's total recency bias, but that is sort of the game we play. Morata and Lukaku feel like the best front two fit for me at this point in time.
Yeah.
Harry Kane feels droppable given the options that exist.
Yeah.
But do you say definitely drop Kane?
No. I'm practicing patience here, but I'm not feeling good about it. And I think I actually am going to captain him this game week. I'm just going to do it out of sheer stubbornness. Who knows how it's going to work out, but I think I'm.
Well, you'll be the differential captain, or I dare say.
Maybe. All right. So one final topic before we move on, before we take a break, is Manchester City. So there was you may have seen this, Brandon. This was making its way around the Reddit and the Twitterverse today. But there's a press conference with Guardiola where he basically said, I can't play Jesus and Aguero together until Benjamin Mendy is back and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the assumption there is that Sané is nailed on.
Right. But also that, you know, Mendy's not back until April. So, or
mid ways away
earliest. So can you really,
I use the Jacobian calendar actually, Josh. So I don't really, that doesn't mean anything to me.
I don't believe in the Augustan calendar. So I actually don't, we're a month behind in my opinion. We're still in October.
Fair enough.
So
happy Halloween.
Yeah, thank you too. Or maybe it's December.
Happy harvest. I don't know.
Stupid joke. So can you really have Jesus much longer? I have Jesus as well. We both have Jesus. How long can the Jesus experiment continue, given that he's probably going to come off the bench most of, like, what, half of the next 10 fixtures?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with Jesus. And the question is, I'll have to burn points to get rid of him.
Yeah,
this game week.
Sounds like you're gonna burn like 16 based on the way you're
tied. Wait, the thought has crossed my mind. I was very close to a minus 12 going into game week 12, and that what the synergy there would have been unreal, and it would have been rewarded many times over.
Is that right? You could have burned 12, and it would have been a net gain.
So the burning 12 would have been Bertrand and Stones out for Duffy and Tarkowski and Morata and Salah.
Wow.
How would that have worked out? Probably pretty well.
Yeah, 23, 29. Wait, was Tarkowski and who was the other defender?
Duffy, the one-pointer.
All right, so 30 points. Yeah, well.
So, but
sometimes it works.
That's beside the point. The point is Jesus is, I feel like the goal that he scored is kind of the swan song. The fact that, well, he got two bonus points.
It was weird. I was shocked that he got those two, but I was certain it was Lukaku, like, six-pointer.
Okay, so I guess this is what I would, this is how I'll frame this discussion, is we're heading into a robust period of fixtures, as everyone knows. We're gearing ourselves towards players who are least rotatable. Batshuayi versus Morata. Morata is going to get it, you know, maybe one rest or maybe two over the festive period.
Sure.
Jesus looking at a lot more rest than that. Lukaku, same deal. I think Lukaku is going to see a lot more minutes than other strikers. Harry Kane
depends on if he's healthy.
It depends on if he's healthy. So Jesus, just based on the whole festive period, the fixture pileup, is losing out time and time again.
Yeah, Captain Kingpin says, basically Captain Kingpin, Ujan, and Peter Locke all have questions about this. And I think the answer is, you know, Brennan, you have KDB. I guess he's probably going to stay a fixture in your team, right? Because he's not going to move that much. He's not going to be he's not going to be rotated very often, right? He's stable.
Yeah, he's the one that worked.
Right.
When I look back at my season, I'll say he's the one that worked.
So I can't. I don't think I could justify bringing him in. I don't even think I'd argue for it on this podcast. I think if you had that kind of money, I'd probably just bring in Eden Hazard. But I do understand. Yeah. I think I might roll through these holiday fixtures with only one. with only one city player, and I would like that city player to be Sané. And I honestly am okay if it's just the one player. I actually am considering bringing in Otamendi too, which I know probably seems a little counterintuitive, but just as a center back, I think he's probably the most likely to play for them. And they really do have good fixtures coming up. So it's not an easy one with Man City.
Well, yeah, I mean, the John Stones injury is the best thing that happened to that logic, because Otamendi is virtually guaranteed.
Yeah.
He's locked in. I mean, Mangala is not favored at all. Company is going to be shattered into a million pieces at any moment here.
Exactly. So, all right. So, yeah, it's a tricky time for Man City. We talked about them a lot, though. So let's move on, Brandon. Let's take a break.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Brandon, we're into part two. It's the lightning round. Each question only gets 30 seconds. Yeah, somewhere between 30 seconds and 20 minutes, depending on how much we like the question. Let's go. Brendan Walsh says, how annoying is Ibra likely to be to Lukaku owners? Is it time to move on?
Brendan, it's not likely to be very annoying. I know Lukaku has a very powerful agent. I'm sure there are lots of back channel discussions about how many minutes, how many starts Lukaku gets. Also, Ibra just coming back from a cruciate. I know he looked good against Newcastle coming on for a few minutes, but it is Lukaku's position in my mind.
They gave him $100 million. Pogba's back. Ibra is going to force Lukaku to play better. But even when Ibra's on the pitch with Lukaku, I think that will give Lukaku attacking points. Like, maybe it means Lukaku gets a couple more assists, but that's all right. Yep. You know, I don't think there's any real net negative to Ibra playing. I mean, obviously, it might cost Lukaku a start here and there.
Next question.
With Stones and Mendy out, this is from Pralin Mehta. With Stones and Mendy out and company likely to get injured at some point, is Danilo/Mangala worth a punt?
No, I don't think so. I think you answered this question earlier, Josh. It's Otamendi is the pick there for City defense. If you really want to get involved, as I was saying, and I made mention on this on Twitter when I did a takeover of the Hail Cheaters Twitter account on Friday night, I said, this is the point in the season in which we realize our FPL house is built on sand.
Yeah.
And that to me is expensive defenders. And I think we can really target expensive defenses. Arsenal being one that we mentioned at the top of the podcast being pretty good. Manchester City, focus your energy on their attacking output.
Yeah. By the way, the best part about Friday was when you and I both independently, I was on the conference floor, but I happened to catch the, I think I was, you know, just taking a 5-minute break or whatever. And I saw this stupid Ringer article. It's like a little cottage industry where people know they get clicks if they compare something to the Premier League and talk about why it's better than the Premier League. And it's like the laziest journalism, and it drives me crazy. So I like basically wrote that, and then it turned out that like 20 minutes before you had also seen the article and written the almost the exact same thing.
And that's why we're friends, because we hate the same internet content.
Yeah, exactly. What are friends for, but if not to hate together? Femme Tian Lung says, should we consider the Arsenal defense like Bellerin and Kola? They look good against Spurs and are set to profit at home the rest of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about this at the top. Mustafi is back, and a 5.3 price tag for Mustafi looks dialed in the central defense when the next cheapest defender is Monreal. Monreal also a great pick.
Is there any reason you'd argue for Monreal over Mustafi at 0.3 more?
Well, Monreal had, two goals in two games?
Sure, goal machine.
Yeah, total blip. Mustafi has scored multiple times on set pieces for the Gunners, and I see that as more a likelihood than Monreal keeping his scoring output. So, no, I couldn't make a case.
Mustafi is an absolute steal at $5.3 million. I would definitely look to bring him in.
Yep.
All right, next question comes from that Joe guy. Does that Bournemouth performance sway you guys to look at them in a better light? Brandon, you were the one who was really kind of knocking Bournemouth last week. So what do you think?
Yeah. I guess I have to eat my words a little bit here. I did, in my defense, say I needed to see a performance from Bournemouth against Huddersfield, and they came through. They showed it to me.
Okay.
But it was a home performance against arguably one of the worst performing teams in the league at this point in time.
Sure.
But Bournemouth looked great.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about...
Even playing with 10 men, yeah, they look great.
We haven't even talked about Callum Wilson. The problem with Wilson is he's coming back from injury. I don't know that he's – they have a lot of striking options in that squad, as we all know, right? They've got Josh King. Mm-hmm. They've got Jermaine Defoe. They have Badik Afobe. They have Lys Mousset, Brandon, your beloved Lys Mousset.
Mousset till I die.
And I'm worried that they're going to manage Wilson's minutes very carefully. So I think if you bring in Wilson, you're going to have to deal with a lot of bench time because – I'm not sure that he's going to be playing 90 full minutes, you know, two games in 4 days.
Yeah. I think you made the right move with Charlie Daniels. The defense is probably the most sustainable or predictable with Bournemouth.
Yeah, exactly. I like Begovic a lot at 4.5 million.
Yeah, but can you justify Begovic over Pope? At Burnley at this point.
Yeah, the Pope thing just, it still worries me because I'm just worried about when Tom Heaton's going to come back. I was actually just looking earlier today to see if there's any news on that, but I do think he'll be back eventually, right? I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, eventually. He didn't die. He's not, he didn't suddenly become a hockey player.
Right, but he's the captain of the squad. I mean, once he's healthy, he's back in.
But that's for a while now, and Pope is a save machine. Mm-hmm. At Bournemouth, this stat has been touted that Burnley allow the most shots of any other team in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But a lot of those are from outside the box, which makes saves so easy to come by for Nick Pope.
The only guy I'm looking at right now to play goalkeeper actually is Lys Mousset. I want to play Lys Mousset out of position as my starting goalkeeper.
I think that's a great call. I think that's the last word on Bournemouth.
Our next question comes from Vinny. He says, "Hey guys, my question is, how can we make our captain picks actually work out for us? Are most of us overthinking the choice when it comes to captain choices, or are we just unlucky?"
Oh, this is an unanswerable question. I think it largely comes down to luck. I mean, when you have a guy like Harry Kane, some of the Kane captaincy bandwagons have come from us not overthinking it.
Right. It's you know, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. I mean, like, it's just looking back, you would never have thought that Harry Kane would have just a game after game of really tantalizing home fixtures against, you know, bottom half of the table competition and come up with blanks again and again and again. I mean, it just, that was not what we saw last year, you know? I mean, So that counts for a lot of the blanks that people are seeing, right? Just those Kane blanks at home. Even the blank away to Arsenal was a little surprising. I mean, I don't know. It feels like, and I do think there's a lot of luck involved with captains.
So much luck. We look back at that game, Manchester City against Newcastle, when Aguero got, was it 5 goals?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we all captained him. And it was like the easiest thing. Like, of course we all captained him.
Right.
Newcastle
was
terrible at the time, and it was no problem. I remember that one. That may be the only captaincy I remember, apart from Luis Suarez scoring 4 goals against Norwich City.
Right. All right. Tashi C says, "Am I a failure for not having Richarlison? Also, is Watford really that good, or is West Ham that terrible?" It can be both, Tashi. Watford's mid looked amazing.
Yeah, they really did. There was like a 10-minute period in which Watford was just like passing it around West Ham's 18-yard box, like teasing them. I was imagining Watford's midfield like passing it around and basically saying, "Well, we'll give you the ball if Mark Noble, you take your shorts off and humiliate yourself."
Their scouting is amazing.
Just bullying them.
Isn't it amazing the scouting that Watford do? I mean, the fact that they have like four, like it feels like they have 3 or 4 new starters every season in their midfield. And somehow it works. Like it's crazy.
They're like the team that Southampton was a couple seasons ago. Yeah. They seem to be building something sustainable at Watford, where there are lots of other clubs in that realm that are failing.
Yeah.
And yeah, they really are that good, and West Ham are really that bad.
I heard that Spurs might be looking at Richarlison, which would be kind of an interesting fit there.
I mean, if they could replace Musa Sissoko with anything, what is going on there? Sissoko was killing Spurs against Arsenal.
Saw some stat that he has played in 14 derby matches, and his record is 1 win, 1 tie, and 12 losses. So he's like what is the opposite of a good luck charm? He's a bad luck charm.
One good game for France in the Euros, and he's and my fantasy team is still paying the price.
All right, John, the namer of your team, Brandon, says,
"Yeah, Flint City Patriots, go baby!" Says, it's not been a good luck charm so far, Jed.
Says, rotation of goalies is frustrating for me. He's got Foster and Elliott, and a constant worry. The cherries seem to be on form plus fixtures. Is Begovic a good option? Well, there you go. We already talked about it. Regretting not going for an A-lister from the beginning. I do think Begovic is a good option. Their fixtures are pretty good. So I think they have like 4 more strong fixtures, and they have a couple difficult ones, and then they have some more strong fixtures after that. So there's like a little run in late December where it's sort of tricky. But I don't know. I think that Begovic is a pretty decent option there as kind of a like-for-like swap with – I mean, Fabianski – I mean, part of it is I just have Fabianski, who's just doing nothing for me. To the point – I mean, I hate making a goalkeeper transfer, but I'm really thinking I might have to do it because I'm also not getting anything from Elliott. It's not like Elliott is racking up tons of saves. I hate my goalkeepers right now. I don't feel like I get anything from them any week. You know, I'm just like expecting the worst every time.
Yeah. And like you were saying, even though Nick Pope is the goalkeeper of choice right now, we hate spending transfers on goalkeepers. Begovic will be the starter, no brainer for the rest of the season. So in that price bracket, if you want to basically spend one final transfer on goalkeepers, save a wild card, go for it.
Yeah, and De Gea's price keeps rising. I think he's up to like 5.7 now, so it's tricky to bring him in for sure.
It really is. Yeah, everyone who went big at the start of the season has been rewarded. It looks like De Gea is going to finish number one goalkeeper.
Yeah,
this season.
I think that's definitely going to happen. All right, 2 more questions to go, Brandon. Rosie says, "It's my first FPL season. Could you touch on the theories of when to use the bench boost, triple captain, and free hit, and what is the double game week I keep hearing about?" Now, you know, for long-time managers, obviously this is something that you've like sort of thought about and then like just shelved in the back of your head. But just if you are, you know, I'm conscious of this because sometimes people listen to podcasts and they're like, use words like differential and whatever, and I had no idea what you were even talking about. So just for the record, for many long-term managers, the bench boost, the triple captain, the free hit are all chips that most of us are saving for the double game weeks, which is when teams get – you know, 2 fixtures in one single game week, usually because they are playing in the FA Cup, which takes place that weekend, or, you know, typically the League Cup final is another fixture where, you know, typically 4 teams are displaced, right? Because there's 2 teams in the final and the 2 teams they were going to play. You know, obviously if you use those chips during those weeks, then you get double fixtures and it's a chance to really maximize your points. That's the biggest theory, is just to wait until the fixtures are so good. It's actually not even about the fixtures being so good, but just giving your players so many chances to create points, right? Because instead of having 90 minutes, you have 180 minutes.
Yeah, you're steering the odds in your favor. You have a greater percentage chance of actually cashing in on these chips.
Right. So that's like that's the 30-second version. But Rosie, if you want to email us, we can tell you a little more.
Yeah, but and the big double game week that everyone's going to play their chips on typically comes at the end of the season, round about game week 36. So you have to show patience.
Yeah,
and also speaking of patience, if you're a first time FPL manager and you're still listening like an hour deep into this podcast, I love you.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, at this point there's like 8 people who are still listening. Like we can name them all. Like. All right, Andrew Gorman, final question. Will I get hit by a biblical plague if I transfer out Abraham? I still have Pope and Jesus. Just a good question.
Tammy Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Tammy Abraham. Any people out there that like, you know, Sunday school hymns, that's one for you.
Yeah, someone said, well, thankfully you didn't have to transfer out Moses as well.
Yeah. All right, should we take a break? We'll come back and preview game week 13.
Let's do it.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Brandon, final section here. Game week 13. What's your move? Do you already have your trade? It sounds like you're going to burn like 20 points this game week.
Yeah, I am looking at burning points. John Stones has to go. He's out for maybe 6 weeks or more with a hamstring. He was next on the chopping block. I have banked 2.7 million at this point.
Wow.
It's like I've been saving my pennies to upgrade Pascal Gross.
I'm surprised he was next, though. I mean, away to Huddersfield. That's like a guaranteed clean sheet, right?
It is, but
doesn't
is it a
now,
guarantee?
Yeah,
it really doesn't matter now. But the point is, I just feel like the money is ill invested in the back. Monreal is going to be my only plus five defender. So I'm basically looking at Stones to a cheap defender, and the other marks are Morata and Salah. So they both this game week 12 was the game week to have them, right? Now, Liverpool and Chelsea both have away fixtures. Chelsea goes to Azerbaijan on Wednesday, and Liverpool is at Sevilla on Tuesday. Big Champions League games for them. A large part of their focus goes to that. Then they play each other in game week 13. So I'm totally fixated on Salah and Morata. Maybe I just make my one defensive transfer with an eye toward getting Salah and Morata in game week 14. The issue, right. Josh, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still with you. And game week 14, okay, midweek next week.
Yeah, which will be here before you know it. My one concern is price rises. So we've already seen a price rise with Salah and Morata, which is wildly complicated, this whole strategy. So if it looks like they're both going to jump in price before the weekend, then I may burn 8 points. The other option would be to look to dump Eriksen, turn Eriksen into somebody like Sané and just do a minus four and do Sané and Salah for Eriksen and Gross and leave John Stones for the week.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Just let it roll over the, you wouldn't be
there
fixing
are a lot of options.
Weakest link, would you? That'd be the, to use the advice from episode 100, that'd be a luxury transfer.
Yeah, it would be. So John Stones is the weakest link, then probably maybe, as we were saying, Jesus behind that. But yeah. So that could be a like for like, just Morata to Jesus. But I just have so many questions about the Chelsea Liverpool fixture. I don't really want to play that fixture right now, but I'm very concerned about these price rises.
Yeah, I am a little torn as to what to do myself. It kind of depends on Ben Davis. If I actually still have Ben Davis in my team, and if he does not play at the midweek, if Danny Rose gets the Champions League match, which is possible, but I probably unlikely actually. So a lot of this will be moot. So I won't go on for this too long, but. If Davis doesn't play at midweek and then, you know, probably set to play over the weekend, I'll keep him in my squad because they're home to West Brom. In that case, I may actually not burn a transfer at all, and I'll just carry it over because I've got all of these like players that I'm a little unsure of right now. I've got Sterling and Jesus, and I guess those are the two biggest questions, or my two Man City players. I'm just not. It really depends on how they, you know, how many minutes they get at midweek. I mean, I don't think I'm really going to drop Sterling, but it's so frustrating to have these. I mean, they keep scoring up the bench, so it hasn't been a total disaster, but it does feel like it's a problem that has to get solved. So I'm going to wait until Friday and decide what. Actually, no, but here's the problem: is that Friday afternoon it's an early game this week. Leicester play on Friday, so Leicester West Ham, which is kind of a fun game.
It is, but neither of us will have any players in that.
Yeah, I'll still watch.
Yeah, we'll still watch. It'll be a pure watch.
Exactly. Pure watch. Well, you know, maybe we should actually watch that on Friday. That'd be a good, you know, we're home for Thanksgiving, you know.
It's a great U.S. holiday.
Yeah, it is.
So it sounds like we're both still sticking with Kane. No question about that.
I don't know how you could drop him before this game.
So the captaincy, Lukaku looks to be a good shout for game week 13, home against Brighton.
Yeah, or Kane.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're doing the unconventional. Now, it's not now bad hipster pick.
I'm just okay. Yeah, it's a bad run for Kane, weighed against, you know, 4 years of success. So I still feel comfortable. It's not exactly like I haven't brought in, you know, Peter Crouch or something, you know. It's still like one of the best players in the league.
So what are we looking for in the next few days, be it the if Kane or how much Kane plays midweek in the Champions League, what kind of language Pochettino is using in press conferences, what clues are we looking for to give us confidence to not just break ties with Kane and to captain him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd want him to play at midweek. Well, get rested or play like a short amount of time, like play 60 minutes and get a brace or something, you know, like, I mean, Dortmund are kind of reeling right now in the Bundesliga, so it's a good time to play them. So I do think he could score in that match. And if he like played, you know, 65 minutes, picked up a goal, I'd feel really good about him. If he played the full 90 and blanked, I'd be kind of nervous. So yeah, it's a tricky one.
Yeah. And I mean, just looking at these fixtures, trying to pull out clean sheets. Well, do you have any predictions about Liverpool, Chelsea, since we were talking about it?
No, not yet. I think Liverpool will actually probably win that game. It's an interesting match for Salah. You know, he's playing his old squad, but I think that stuff gets a little overrated. You know, I don't think these guys. I mean, he's like a millionaire many times over, right? Like, whatever. It's all like, it's fine. Like, it didn't work out.
It's only business.
Yeah, it's like, that's just for like TV producers, like the revenge game and stuff. It's all whatever. It's fine.
No, Salah's kissing that badge when he scores.
Yeah, maybe he's kissing the badge. All right. So if you don't make any transfers this game week, who's your captain for game week 13?
Oh, I mean, maybe De Bruyne against Huddersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, midweek Champions League game to qualify that. But yeah. De Bruyne has been delivering pretty steadily. Huddersfield are reeling a bit right now. City are strong. They could just roll up there and smash them. And De Bruyne in the last month has shown his capability of scoring. Looks like he's looking to shoot more.
Yeah.
There's less concern of him, you know, being out of the attack, lying a little too deep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, yeah. So I just, I might go, it's Kane, De Bruyne. You're convincing me. I can't believe it.
I know. I mean, yeah. And after the one pointer with Kane, I know you're in a tough place. It's a dark place for you. So I won't push it too hard, but I actually think it would be Sterling would be an interesting choice in that case. If you had Sterling, because, you know, we've already seen Jesus get benched 2 game weeks in a row. This happened like 2 weeks ago, but Sterling is like a pretty locked in starter at this point. So if he didn't play at midweek, then he would be an interesting captain option for Sunday. Because I really think he could do damage against a team like Huddersfield. I don't know that they really match up well with a player like him. So how old is some of the players in that Huddersfield defense are not very young. And how about that for like a cheeky captain, punt, Sterling?
So we're done?
We're done.
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Yeah. So it's gonna be coming thick and fast here. But we're always cheating is going to be with you guys every step of the way.
Yeah. So I agree. They're coming thick and fast. We'll be here with way too many podcasts over the next few weeks. So, keep an eye. We also, we're going to do a Patreon podcast, sometime possibly even as soon as this weekend. We have an idea for that podcast, but if you're a Patreon supporter, reach out to us. And if there's something you really want us to do, if there's something that you think would be a really cool feature on there, let us know. And we'll do some real fan service for our Patreon supporters. And so if you want to become a Patreon, sorry, Brandon. What's that?
I just said whatever you want, guys. Anything.
Anything.
Just name it.
It's yours. Patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can support the podcast. You can find the podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, all kinds of places where you listen to your podcast, Acast. And you can follow the podcast on this is like my weakest. We're really like ending this with a whimper, aren't we, Brandon? You can find us on alwayscheating.com, facebook.com/alwayscheating, twitter.com/hailcheaters. What did I miss?
It's important you get the .com there if you're going to Twitter. It's not a .edu. It's not a .org.
.co.uk. Nothing like that.
Before that was spectacular, Joshua. Perhaps your best outro ever. And I just want to say, people have been leaving some great reviews on our iTunes page, and that really helps us. It helps people find the pod. If you are so moved, we'd love it if you went to iTunes and rated. Gave us 5 stars on iTunes, left us a kind review if you like the pod.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, exactly. It really is. Yeah, I was actually just looking recently. I was talking to someone about the podcast, and I pulled it up my phone, and I was like, wow, we have that many reviews. And so yeah, we actually have a 5-star rating on the site right now, and it's all thanks to people like you who took the time to do it. So it's really much appreciated. Thank you.
Cool. Good luck in game week 13, you all. And I wish you bad luck, Joshua.
Yeah. Bad luck back to you, and happy Turkey Day Eve.
Yeah.
To you.
Happy Thanksgiving to all our U.S. listeners.
Yep. All right. See you next week.
Bye. All right.